And shenigla leinu. So we discussed al shum shel yispik b'tzeikom shel avesenu lachmitz at shenigla leim melech malachim lochem akadosh baruch hu golom miyad. So we discussed this in terms of this being the mission of Klal Yisrael. Then another way to appreciate the significance of at shenigla leim is that ultimately marked the completion of the Geula. We've said many times that according to Ramban, the Geula was only complete when, at the end of Sefer Shmos, when Kadosh Baruch Hu was stayed with Klal Yisrael in Mishkan. And we pointed out many times that the Ramban in his Akdum, the Sefer Shmos says that Geulas Mitzrayim was complete, that Geulah was complete, not simply when we leave Mitzrayim physically, not even when we receive the Torah. And many Mefarshim say that Geulas Mitzrayim is complete when we receive the Torah, because that's the Tachlis HaGeulah, Pshutus Nafshenu. So Ramban says no, that since the entire Sefer Shmos is called the Sefer Geulah, so Geulah is only complete when we have restored, we've come back, l'malas amiseinu, it's a lashon Ramban. We come back to the same stature that Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov had. What was their stature? They were merkava shel hashchina. In other words, the stature of Avraham is not only that he had hayrois from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had mitzvahs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shchina was with him. That's a much, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was with him constantly. So when Klal Yisrael returns to that position, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina joins us, so this, that is Geula. And then, so that took place temporarily in Har Sinai. But according to Ramban's thinking, so that's the as we've said many times, the Mishkan is the Hemshech of Mount Tabor. It's the Hemshech of the Neis at Tzimtzum Hashchina. In the Ramban's approach, so this is part of a broader issue. The Ramban explains that we learn in Parshas Vayeshev that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu that I will go down with you to Mitzrayim and I will come up with you. So Ramban's approach is that it's not only an idea of Ima Yonechi Mitzara, but it's also the idea of Shechita Begalusa. That when Klal Yisrael is in Golos, so Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is minimized. Right? When Klal Yisrael is in Golos, so then there's a Hester upon him. Right? Based on what we said yesterday. And since our tachlis in this world is to be the way which the Kadosh Baruch Hu has megala himself, so when Klal Yisrael is Bitzara, so then that's a form of Mechil Hashem. It's Hester upon him. The Moshul, when Klal Yisrael had Shiras Yamsuf, so Kadosh Baruch Hu was revealed in a fashion that he hasn't been revealed since then. Right? That's what you say in the Az Yoshe. That Ozne Valu Kol Lufa Yede, Ele Yimoy Vechasev Eroi, the Mogul Kol Yoshvei Kedon. So that was an ultimate form of Gilu Shechina. In Mikdash, where there were ongoing Nisim, that was a form of Gilu Shechina. But when Klal Yisrael was suffering, so then the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to megal himself is hidden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is one of the aspects of Golos. Right? As we often point out, if you look at Sefer Shmos, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megal himself initially in a snare, which the Rashi says that is a low bush, because the Imer Nechim Tzara. But the Pirush HaDavar is even according to Ramban, that it's a very, very ambiguous Gilui, her raya, is that nobody else saw it, only Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. Only Moshe Rabbeinu stopped to look at it. It means everybody else has walked by it. So that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Gilui is diminished, is minimized. Mashiach came at the end of the Sefer, so then everybody saw the Karen or Panim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody saw the Anan coming and going. Everybody saw the Anan being a signal for Moshe Rabbeinu, and ultimately in Bamidbar, so the Anan becomes a signal for Klal Yisrael. So that becomes an ongoing, clear indication of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being Megalas Rotze. So when we say Ad Shenigla Aleinu, Ad Shenigla Aleihem, Melech Malchem Lochem Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ugalo Miyad, so that signals the signals probably the most important part of Gulas Yisrael. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu is now beginning to megal himself in a greater amount. In other words, if you look through Sefer Shrois, so it begins with Sneh, Hester Ponim, and then you have the Makris, and the Makris are a Gili Kvot Shemayim. So the Ramban points out that every three Makris will megal another aspect of the Rebbeinu. Number one, he's a boy, right? Number two, that he is Mashkiach Aloilam, and number three, that he's Berech HaKlal Yisrael. Those are the three different Vedat HaKini Hashem, Vedat HaKini Hashem Bekerev Oret, and then the third phrase. So Ramban says those are the three, so those are all parts of Gili Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to megal himself further through Klal Yisrael, that's Bechiras Yisrael. So then after that you have Kriyas Yamsuf. Then you have the Koilus of Brokim, Banon, and Har Sinai. And then in Ramban, you have even greater Gilushka, because you have Oil Moy. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we say Ad Shenigla Aleihem, it means Kadosh Baruch Hu now was stepping up, the Gilui shouldn't be of a greater amount. That's what the Ramban learns Pshat at the beginning of the era. When the Rebbeinu Shem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati, Ushmi Hashem lo hodati. So Rashi goes to Pshat. One pirush is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was being critical of the Yomis, but they didn't question it. But the Ramban, which is probably the first Pshat in Rashi, says that the Pshat is that until Parshas Be'era, so I was Be'ester upon him. And now with the Makos of Parshas Be'era, so I'm going to be Megala myself. So it's the point they were making, that Shenigla Aleihem, Melech Malchem Lochem, that phrase, Melech Malchem Lochem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will go along, so that carries with him another idea, which is an important element, not a fundamental element of Geulas Mitzrayim. That Geulas Mitzrayim was also a Geula for the Gilui Shechina. So I thought many years ago that might explain why Chazal chose the Talmud Torah should be the vehicle for Sibbutz Mitzrayim. We mentioned yesterday that Reb Chaim would point out that Sheila Tshuva is one of the ways in which Sipur is distinguished from Zechira. That you find Sheila Tshuva, not only do you find it in the Manashtana, you find it by the Chochom Oimer, Tom Oimer, you find it also by Matzazu, Sha'on Oichlam Al Shumba. So you see that, and then you really find it in a muted fashion, but it's there in terms of Shailin, in terms of Dorshin, as a Parsha Kula, right? The Drosha of Rami Aviravi. Because every Drosha really is built on a hidden Kasha. You know, Pasuk, and the Drosha is based on some Kasha in the Pasuk. That difficulty. So Chazal were Kaveya that the sipri tisunim should take place through shailus. The rosh holds it in the raisa. The rosh holds that was only the kind of mitzvah the raisa of sipri tisunim if one's child asks, and if one says the story in response to one's child. That's how you have to understand. According to Rosh, you understand why there is an emphasis in the Gemara on Kedeshi Ish'alu Atinoikos. Right? That's the answer for Karpus that the Gemara gives. So there's a... Probably that's the basic reason for Afikoyman, for doing different gimmicks to keep the child up. In fact, in the Haggadah, in Rabbi Lichtenstein's Haggadah, Yitzchak Lichtenstein's Haggadah of the Rav, so he pointed out that the Rav would say in the name of his father, Rav Moshe, that the idea of Sheishalo Tinoika is not limited to one or two practices, but that fathers should do things that are different in order that the child will ask. After a while, the child no longer asks about karmas. He said every couple of years. According to this, if I remember correctly, he says that the wearing of the kittel is also Kadesh Yishalot Tinoikos. Nope, but after a couple of years, he also stopped asking. Right? So, Moshe said that a father should do something strange, something different. Every year, so child will ask, what's going on? And why is that so important? So, he could say it's important because Chazal fashioned Sipri Tis Mitzrayim Asher L'Tshuva. Right? But according to Rosh, I understand it much better. Because according to Rosh, if the child doesn't ask anything, the father is not a kind of mitzvah deraisa. Mitzvah deraisa in response to the question. So the father tries to encourage some kind of question. So the question is, why did Chazal establish the sipur based on Sheila Tshuva? Or, according to Rosh, how we to understand the significance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being kivei the mitzvah on Sheila Tshuva? That means if only the kind of mitzvah I get the child to ask.
Yeah, why is the child to ask? What's the matter of the child asking a random question that's not kosher sipur tisa tshuva? I mean, I understand that. I think one day ago, I think the chasm or something like that would say, like, let's bench after karpas. Just so the kid would ask, like, no, we don't bench now.
Yeah.
And then he'd say, you're right, let's go on. Like, meaning, isn't that, what's the model of the kid asking a question that's totally irrelevant to serious issues?
Sorry, right. That's a good question. You see, though, the Gemara says that.
It says, Yosei Yechol Bas, when he asks the question, so never Yosei.
Right. Like, I thought it meant the following, that in my father is a very, very important part. My father's part is that's one of the unique aspects of chayrus is being able to ask questions. And Eved doesn't ask any questions, right? And Eved he does what he's told to do. The Eved thinks a little bit differently. That's not the job of the Eved. The job is not to make it more efficient. The job is to take the instructions as they are. The moment a person asks any kind of akasha, so not being akasha, but a person asks akasha, so that shows that he's not thinking like an Eved. So one of the ways that Chazal want us to celebrate Chayrus and the appreciate of Chayrus is that koyach, that a person is not, we'd say now, is not dumb, is not down, what's it called? Dumbed down, is not limited. His mind is not squashed. So that just that idea that your mind is not squashed, it's already a celebration of chavis. So I was thinking along the following lines that one of the basic elements of Talmud Torah. In other words, the Rav used to point out that Chazal were misaking sipri tis mitzrayim along the lines of Talmud Torah. How did the Rav point this out? Because the Iker Sipur is from the Drosha of Rami Avi Ravi. So we would not do that. If we were told to organize a Sipri Tis Mitzrayim, so we would organize a story. We'd have a narrative. We'd read tales like the Megillah reads. We tell the story, how much you want, how many details, how many Midrashim, how many Mephorshim. That's what we would do. Right? I don't know if we were given the job of fashioning a text for the key mitzvah of Sibur, I'm not sure we'd come up to any of that. Any of the parts of the Haggadah. Right? What would we come up with? Maybe a line. Maybe it's Chilah of the Berzorah. It's a Tzorachin Gadol. So you have to explain everything. You know, why Manishtana? Why there's a mini certain of Rahino? Why Maisim? Rebelos of Nazariah? Yochum of Rosh Chodesh? Right? Came up, we wouldn't. So it's a Tzorachin. That way, every part of the Haggadah has to be explained. How is that part of Sipur? So the Rav explained that you see from the fact that we darshan the parsha of Rami Ovid Ovi. Why Rami Ovid Ovi? So Rav had a marvelous word. I found later on in other sources, I found that Rabbi Yochum said the same word, I think. He said, because if you look at Sefer HaMitzvahs, so Rami Ovid Ovi comes from the mitzvah Bikur, from the Vidi Bikur. If you look at Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam is Magdir, that the mitzvah of Vidi Bikur is a mitzvah to be Makir Tov. That's the Lashon of the Rambam. That's the Gedir HaMitzvah. So the Rav explained very beautifully that Chazal understood the Gedir HaMitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is Hakar HaSitov. If you look at the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah, that's how he's Magdir Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. So the Rav said Chazal had a text. The Torah gave us a text. I can't do better than that. The Torah gives you a text and it's Mugdir as Hakar HaSitov, and that's the Gedir HaMitzvah. So of course it's a Torah's text. Shaila is why are we darshaning it? Why do we use drushes? So we want to add in more information. So we added more information by quoting other texts. Right? So we mefarish it. Why do we say every single word? So that's what the Rebbe would explain, because the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim Chazal misaking it as a mitzvah Talmud Torah, a mitzvah of learning. Not as a mitzvah of saying Halal Mashal. When it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, we just read the Megillah. We don't darshan the Megillah. Why? Because the Megillah's book there is the mitzvah of Halal Vaidoya. Right? By Raya, the Gemara asks, why don't we say Halal and Purim? So the Gemara is to answer. But one answer is Kriyas HaZuhalusa. So you see, Chazal, we're Magi, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, the mitzvah of Halal. Right? By Sha'ena Kain, Kriyas HaTorah is probably book there is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right, if I arrive, I make the seven brachos of Torah. But when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, we read it. When it comes to the parsha of a Rami Yehuda of Yitzis Mitzrayim, we darshan it. Right, darshaning is the core of Talmud Torah. That's understanding the Torah Shavachsav Alpi, the Torah Shavachsav Alpi. Right, that's your basic mitzvah Talmud Torah. The Mefarish Torah Shebechsav. You're probably, if you go back to the earliest form of Talmud Torah after modern Torah, is probably to Darshan and Pesukim, Medrash Chazal. But that's your core. What's Pshat? What's the nature of the mitzvah of darshaning? So that's what we've pointed out many times, that darshaning means that you're being megala something which is in the text. it's different than a pirush. A drasha means that you understand that embedded in the text was a kasha nateris. Right? A pirush doesn't necessarily have to respond to a kash in the text. A pirush can be a comment based on the choice of a certain word. For us, it's hard to appreciate that because the idea of a kash in teretz is so embedded in our thinking. But that's how we learn Rashi. So that we only see learning via kasha v'tirtz. That's a chiddush. That's the idea of darshaning. That there is something embedded in the text which raises a question. So the original intent of the Ribbono Shel Olam was to include this in the text itself. And Rashi says, Vanili Bosi, Ali came to organize the, to get the pasuk on its wheels. So Rashi was saying that without this, you're going to be left with a kasha. So what does that mean? So if the Rebbeinu Shlom wrote a text for people, and the text has kashas, that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu intended that when a person would read this text, so he would be bothered and therefore appreciated that something else is being said. Right? If it would be a text that would come from Basra Adam, so it would be dismissive of all its kashas. But text that comes from the Rebbeinu Shlom, so therefore we understand that anything that we could think of, which is emistic, was included in the text. I found a smach for the Rav's approach in the Rekeach, I think. The Rekeach says that the Baruch HaMokim and Baruch Hu is a Birchas HaTorah. So that supports the Rav's idea that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the vehicle by which a person is mekayim the mitzvah of Sibutis Mitzrayim. That Chazal established the mitzvah of Sibutis Mitzrayim, even though it's a mitzvah of Hakoras HaTov, but they want us to mekayim the mitzvah of Sibra al Yidei, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yes. So Pirush HaDvarim is that could explain to us why it's Alidei Sheila Tshuva. But first of all, because Sheila Tshuva establishes, for the most part, a relation between Talmud and the Rebbe. When a person has, again, it's hard for us to fully appreciate because for us, Svarim have so much become part of our rebbein. When a person is bothered by something, so that means that there's a certain bikush. So Kadosh Baruch Hu placed within the text, and Chazal included this in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Gemara as well, that there should be certain things that are flags to encourage further inquiry, to encourage curiosity. That it's almost impossible to be satisfied with learning without inquiring, without trying to figure something out, without being bothered by something. So sometimes we take the kasha teretz process for granted, but memela, that usually establishes some kind of a relationship to Rebbe, even more important. It establishes a humbling. It's a humbling experience for anybody who learns. Because if a person would learn and everything would be organized perfectly and would not require tremendous effort on the Talmud and the learner, so learning would not be such a humbling experience. So a person may be humbled by the fact that there's so much information there. But achrei kichleis hakol, so the information is organized. What you have to know is a finite amount. It's there. Mashein Kane, if one has a shas, and one looks at the shas, and one immediately realizes that one's going to have to, has a tremendous amount of work, realizes it's an ain't so, because the depth that's there, because the number of questions that are raised, because the amount of organization that's required. A person wants like a humbling experience of Talmud Torah. So you open up the Maftechus, or some of the story, open up Maftechus, let's say, a revelation. You see the breadth, and then it's the breadth, but the questions he entertained, right? Things he worked out, right? And that's Kemat B'dei Reinu. But you go, come out than any safer. You see, you open it up and you just look at the maftechas. So, apparently, one of the elemental aspects of Talmud Torah is a humbling experience on behalf of the Talmud. It's opening up a Talmud. Again, I don't mean, it's true for the narrow sense of the Talmud and Rebbe, but it goes beyond that. In our time, it refers to Talmud and Svarim. And it goes beyond that in terms of a generational idea of a Talmud being open to the insights of those who learned it before, a previous Doris. Right, so that concept is an elemental concept of Talmud Torah, that a person will learn Torah through the eyes of a previous generation. That'll learn Torah through the eyes of a Rebbe. That'll learn Torah through the shoulders of a previous Dor. Right? For us, that is so much part of the Messiah of learning. Right? Again, it's a little bit been revamped. I'm not sure if that's correct. We focus perhaps on going back to Rishon. So you could say that our approach has turned the cart over a little bit. So it may not be correct. But it's not. But it's still not entirely so, because the kalim that we use to look at Rishon, the tools that we use, have all come from the previous door. Right? The way that I would look at any Rishon is only what I was able to understand from the way the Rebbe looked at the Rishon. Right? So there is a Hemshech is still there. Right? And the emphasis is that there are that, and again, we may be faulted by not doing this enough, but the emphasis is that in every area, Kibbat in every area, there are, you know, trailblazers that have become indispensable. In other words, the Ketzayis and the Nesivis are indispensable. It happens that a person will try to understand something anew, so to speak. But anew means that they looked at the Ketzayis and the Nesivis and they've already shaped and organized so much of the material already. It's kind of impossible to get away from, and even if one does so it's still in response to the Ketzayis and the Nesivis. And you had that in so many areas of learning, so the point that we're making is that apparently that Chazal introduced, Chazal understood that part of the elements of Talmud Torah is that a person has to make himself into a Talmud. A person has to humble himself to be a Talmud. Kamat after Matan Torah. Right? The first thing that we see of Talmud is people lining up to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. That was part of the issue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro. Now Yisro is saying this is not an efficient way to do things. So part of the teretz is that Moshe was saying, but they're lining up to learn. Lining up to learn was part of Talmud Torah. Because lining up meant that a person said, I'm not going to really chop this without hearing it from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was an important element. So Yisro said, but you can accomplish that with having Sari Meya, Sari Asara. The Torah was originally given to Klal Yisrael through first of Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron, right? Then Aaron's children, right? This came to Klal Yisrael. So Rashi's Nimtza, it turns out we learned it four times. What's Nimtza learned four times? It means that Moshe Rabbeinu was introducing Torah first. So the kelim in which they're going to be distributed, disseminated. Now, when we say that Yisro came after Matan Torah, so what's pshat that the parsha before Matan Torah? Teretz is because having Chachamim in place, that is an essential part of Talmud Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was pointing that out to us. That there is no, that Kadosh Baruch Hu already, even if it wasn't Lamaisa in place, but this is part of the plan. So that's the way I would respond to what Natan said before. Why have a question which is not relevant to Tzibus Yisrael? It doesn't matter. Because the question means that there's somebody there who's asking somebody else. So that aspect of Talmud Torah is essential. So it could be, obviously they can't ask a question about, what's for dinner, right? When are we going to finish the Seder? So I don't know if that's a key or chazal in mind, right? But if a kid asks, why are you doing something? Then why are you wearing the kittel, right? So right away that means the kid has already put himself in a position where he's learning something from somebody else. There's a recognition over there. So that recognition is in place already. So even if we're not matzliach getting that recognition in place, the gabe specific, but it's in place enough that now we can move on and mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in its purest fashion. And that's what Chazal wanted at that time. Right. Now, go ahead.
But in kids are in school, they learn everything right before they get right to the Seder. So
that's what makes it very, very tough. Also, I'm not sure that was what was supposed to be. Right? I'm not sure if that was the way Chazal envisioned things, that a kid would come to the Seder already with notebooks of the Torah. So, alright, but that's the way it is. That's what Klal Yisrael adopted. So it means that it has to work very, very hard. Right? It doesn't mean that the whole night, even if there's a moment during the night where there's a sibra kitikuna. Look, lemaisa chazal established manishtana, right? So what's the point of establishing the questions? Is that a real genuine? Is that genuine inquiry? If chazal said this, what you got to say? So the emphasis is, if what I'm saying is correct, the answer is yes, because the etzim fact that a kid is turning to the father and saying manishtana, even though the kids say, I know 5 different terms manishtana, I know 10 not, but I'm here, right? But the fact is, the kid is recognizing that there's a pattern of you, there's a messiah of you. Right? So even if the kid is not humbled by asking manishtana, but lemaisa the kid, the child is being taught that there is a, that this is a pattern that we have, this is a messiah that we have. But the question is a good question, whether we the emphasis is that so much of teaching nowadays centers around encouraging the child to feel good about his learning. Right? Sounds like I'm saying it facetiously. I don't mean it facetiously. Right? So much of learning centers around associating learning with the person's own self-esteem, right? Because self-esteem has become such a very important factor in the way recognizing it, in the way that we approach people nowadays. So much of chinuch nowadays is having a person feel, not just feel good, but feel that that's part of what makes them part of their own self-esteem. So there are two very important and emistic ideas over here, right? One important emes over here is that the idea of making a kinyan or something, the Ramchal's idea, right? Now this idea that has now been introduced in chinuch in the very earliest age is the idea of making a kinyan over something. We want the child to have a kinyan over time. That's an emistic idea, right? That we want the child to see that Torah is part of the way they define themselves. That's very important, right? We know that's one of the clutch ideas that's used in chinuch nowadays to define a, right? When you have to advise a younger sibling as to what shir to go to, right? So what's part of the thing that's going on in your mind is, well, if this kid goes to a certain shir, then they're not going to see themselves as learners. They're going to see themselves as guys who are struggling, you know, right, to make a language. Right? But if they are in a sheer X, then they'll see themselves in it. Right, so that's very much part of our thinking nowadays. And that's an emes, right? It's an emes if you want a person to define himself around Talmud Torah. Right? So sometimes it gets carried to very, to in directions that are not so healthy and not good for Klal Yisrael. But those emphasis, so again, what's happening is These are also have become important parts of chinuch. Sorry, are they ideal? Probably in a society where the culture is a culture of Talmud Torah, where this is just so entrenched in the culture, so people ultimately accomplish these aspects of Talmud Torah at a later age when it's more appropriate. But instead of having a 7-year-old, so they're older when they feel they've made a kinyan, they're actually, it's a more genuine sense of making it. But what we're doing is we're trying to establish ideas that are very important and traits that are very important, establish in a very deep way earlier in a person's. So does not all the piece not always put together perfectly? Yes, I have to work harder. I have to work harder to build on them. Anyway, but a yaitzim he calls that is that that's why I think that this shelut tshuva, even if it is not a shelut tshuva that relates directly to sibur tzias from tzroyim, nevertheless, it services a role within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Chazal Rekuveya to be misapra in the Talmud Torah. So now, I think that you could say something that's a deeper idea. Talmud Torah essentially it's a process by which we're being megala more of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, within the Torah itself, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah which is mechasat tevach and megalat tevach, maybe even mechasat tevachah and megalat tevach. But the very fact, this is again, it's elemental to Talmud Torah, it's elemental to Kadosh Baruch Hu to a yedeya hakoil, giving over a body of knowledge to Bos of Adam. It has to be that there will be things that are not fully accessed by most people, and it can only be accessed by a tremendous amount of yigiyah. So that's embedded in Talmud Torah. So the concept of a drasha, when we say a drasha is elemental Talmud Torah, that's what it means. It means that I look at a word and I say this word comes from the very early, the Yedei Hakol. So obviously there are ideas in here that are beyond me. Right? There are ideas here that I'm not gonna be able to perceive by simply reading it. I'll only be able to get to it if I'm almost the yegei in it, and even then I'm only going to get the pay. I'm not going to get to the reish dalav tzamach, right? It requires a more skilled person and more yediyas and more understanding and more time and more, right? But it's all because a limited mind is now brushing up against the infinite. Right? So it has to be a concept of a drosha. If you understand that, it becomes definitive what Talmud Torah is. It becomes definitive of the way they're going to approach Torah, right? So when Chazal say, when the Rav noticed that it's al yedei drasha, because that's it, that is a basic component of Talmud Torah. It's a basic recognition of Yisrael of Talmud Torah. So I would take it a step further now, that since we celebrated and Leil Seder, how Kadosh Baruch Hu is megal himself, and he's megal himself through us. So we do it through the mitzvah, which is defined as being megal Kadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah, there are many mitzvahs that are centered in megal Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person makes the bracha, she also nes b'okem hazeh, that's the gilui Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person makes any bracha, that's part of gilui Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's part of being mizboinei. The mitzvah of Avos and Yerushalayim is being mizboinei into the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? But there's a mitzvah, I believe, more so, that are more direct than other mitzvahs. When we talk about the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of Ahavas Reyim, the mitzvah of Shemas Haveda. So we don't say we are engaging in a process of Megalik HaShemrach. It's true that if a person is Meshit Haveda, so no other people have mitzvah. There's a gilui Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's true. That's tier two, tier three, right? Somehow the mitzvah tzitzis is a gilui Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The mitzvah Talmud Torah is the etzem mitzvah is being megala Kadosh Baruch Hu. The etzem mitzvah is understanding more what Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say. Megalim of the Chachmas of the Kis. So Chazal apparently said that one of the ways which it makes most sense to celebrate Gilui HaLikus is through the mitzvah which is directly in Israel Gilui HaLikus. So that's the way I would understand. Again, that this is the definitive Talmud Torah we see in the Ramban's Akdama. Ramban's Akdama was that Kadosh Baruch Hu was put all Chochmas Habari in, he encoded it within the Torah. Right? So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is cracking the code. Kadosh Baruch Hu put a multi-level code. Patish Vayis Yisrael. So that's the way I understand why the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the vehicle to which Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, which Chazal established the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It could be that's pshat in Baruch HaMokah and Baruch Hu. When the Rekeach says that that's Birchas HaTorah, so why do we choose the word Mokah? It's an oft-quoted word from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says that the phrase of Hamokim is used for Nechama, Hamokim Menachem. So he suggests, why is Hamokim the phrase that's used for Nechama? Because it means that when a person, Rachman Elzon, suffers, so he thinks that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's vacant from a certain situation. What comes to mind, right? A person is vacant, if a person is suffering, so he doesn't see how the suffering fits in, isn't where it's coming to him. A person suffers a terrible loss, so he suffers at that time that there's a sense of a Kadosh Baruch Hu not being involved. So therefore we use the phrase of Hamokim. The Gemara says Lom and Nikri Hamokim Shem Mokim Shalaylam, that the world exists because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the Kimol Eretz Kavoda, that's a recognition that we may not be able to perceive Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world right now, but we are reaffirming Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world. It could be that we're suggesting right now is another approach. And Baruch HaMokah and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnosu Tolam Yisrael. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mekoyim Shel Olam means it. The entire world is. The entire world is a part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, by understanding any aspect of the world, we're understanding more of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the Ramban says in all 50 Shari Bina. That's Chochmah Lakiyus, that's embedded in Torah. That's what we pointed out. That in our thinking, the Shari Bina of all of the entire world have to be embedded in the Torah. Because if the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Megala Chochma Lakiyus, so the Yichud of Borei insists that all of the understandings of the Ribbono Shel Olam are going to be bound together. So in our thinking, it couldn't be that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Megala Chochmasai and not Megala the Shari Bina of the world. Because all of it is different understandings of the Ribbono Shel Olam, different parts of being Megala Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu would not be Megala al Shari Bina at one time, so then that would not be probably would not be inconsistent with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we say Baruch HaMokah and Baruch Hu, so we're saying that the role of Talmud Torah this evening is to celebrate the Bechiras Yisrael as being Megala Kadosh Baruch Hu. And our ability to megala Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, to be more precise, to megala Kadosh Baruch Hu means to understand more of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to relate Kadosh Baruch Hu more to the things that we see and that we experience. Right? It reduces the Kadosh Baruch Hu to the world of human beings. But if we say that a certain event happened because the Kadosh Baruch Hu intervened, or a certain event happened because the Kadosh Baruch Hu put that into his teva, so that's being megala Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we relate the Ribbono Shel Olam to an event which took place, so that is an event of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if we don't appreciate it, then it's musbi. Megala means that we are, that human beings have a greater recognition. The fact is that Mola Earth Kavod, the fact is we Makom Shoylam. The fact is that everything which takes place in this world is the Ribbono Shel Olam moving it around. Right? So the fact is Baruch Hamok, Baruch Hu Makom Shoylam. Whatever happens in this world is the Ribbono Shel Olam take care of. Being Megala Kadosh Baruch Hu means that we are opening our own eyes to see it, that otherwise it's not seen. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu was found in the snare. So the fact was that Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing a nes in the snare. When Kadosh Baruch Hu was nister at that point, it means that people didn't see it, didn't recognize it. So here Kadosh Baruch Hu is being Megala himself. So what's the Hester upon him? When we say Hester upon him, what do we mean? We mean there are events happening where we cannot connect them to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hester upon him does not mean that there are events happening without Kadosh Baruch Hu managing those events. But in our minds, we can't connect them to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Hester upon him. We don't see when we were Avodim and Mitzrayim, so we could not connect that event to Ribbono Shel Olam. We saw it as a Hester upon him. Right? So the idea of being Megala Kadosh Baruch Hu coming Begiloi, is that human beings are able to see more of Kadosh Baruch Hu, able to connect it more to what's happening. So that's true for a person who says a bird praise, that's the Rav Chaim Volozhin explained is the site of every bracha. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be more revealed, it means that people should be able to connect more of their experiences to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that might be why that's the bracha we make on Birchas HaTorah d'Evening. Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu means that he's Mekayim Shel Olam. Hester Pana means we don't recognize that he's Mekayim Shel Olam. So Baruch Shenos HaTorah Mishol, we're grateful that Baruch Hu gave us a Torah which will continuously train us and hone us into this ability to be Megala. And once a person understands how to apply those tools to a text, so ultimately you can apply those tools to anything which is going on in the world. Okay. So, Chag Kosher V'Sameach.